Welcome to Lit Unlocked, the podcast that gets you exam ready for Cambridge IGCSE English Literature. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into Stories of Ourselves, Volume 2, one of the most fascinating and rewarding texts you'll study at IGCSE level. Whether you're just starting out with the anthology or you're in full revision mode, this episode is packed with everything you need to know. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's unlock these stories together. First, let's talk about what makes Stories of Ourselves Volume 2 so special and why Cambridge chose it for your exam. This anthology brings together short stories from writers across the globe, from South Asia, Africa, the Caribbean, Britain, and beyond. And that global diversity is not accidental. Cambridge wants you to engage with a wide range of human experiences told through a wide range of literary voices. The anthology is essentially asking you, what does it mean to be human? What do we all share, and where do our experiences diverge? Now, the key thing to understand about this anthology is that you are not just reading stories, you are analyzing authorial craft. Every time you read a story, your examiner wants to know, how does the writer create meaning? What choices did they make about narrative voice, structure, language, and form? And why? Let's break down the three biggest areas you need to master. Number one, narrative voice and perspective. This is arguably the most important technical concept in the anthology. Narrative voice is simply, who is telling the story and how? You need to be able to identify whether a story uses a first-person narrator, where the narrator says I and gives us a subjective, intimate view, or a third-person narrator, which can be either limited, following one character's perspective, or omniscient, where the narrator knows everything about everyone. But here's what separates a good answer from a great one. You need to explain the effect of that narrative choice. A first-person narrator creates intimacy and empathy. We are drawn into their world, we see through their eyes. But it also creates unreliability. The narrator can only tell us what they know, what they choose to share, and what they understand. This is rich territory for analysis. Ask yourself, is this narrator trustworthy? What might they be hiding, even from themselves? A third-person, omniscient narrator, on the other hand, gives the writer much more control. The author can zoom in on one character's thoughts and then pull back to show us the bigger picture. This creates dramatic irony, where we as readers know more than the characters do. When you spot dramatic irony, always analyze it. Why does the writer want us to know more than the character? What effect does that have on our sympathy, our tension, our understanding? Number two, structure and form. Short stories are a very particular form of fiction, and the best candidates understand this. Unlike a novel, a short story has to do a lot of work in a very small space. Writers make very deliberate choices about where to begin and end, what to include, and, crucially, what to leave out. Many of the stories in this anthology use in media's residential openings, beginning in the middle of the action to create immediate tension and hook the reader. Others use a frame narrative where a story is told within another story, creating layers of meaning and distance. Pay attention to the ending of each story. Does it resolve neatly, or does it leave things deliberately ambiguous? An ambiguous ending is a powerful literary choice. It invites the reader to continue thinking, to draw their own conclusions. When you write about structure, use phrases like the writer's decision to open with, or the deliberate use of an ambiguous ending suggests. These phrases signal to the examiner that you understand structure as a conscious authorial choice, not just something that happens. Number three, themes. The anthology is rich with recurring themes, and the examiners love to ask about them. The big ones you need to know are identity and self, who are we, and how do others define us? Isolation and belonging, the outsider figure appears in story after story. Power and oppression, social hierarchies, who holds power, who is silenced. Memory and the past, how the past shapes the present. Cultural conflict, the tension between tradition and modernity, between home and displacement. And social injustice, class, race, and gender inequality, woven through many of the stories. Here's a crucial insight. Themes rarely appear in isolation. The best analytical essays explore how themes intersect. For example, a story about cultural conflict might also be about identity, A character torn between two worlds is also asking, who am I? When you can show the examiner that you see these connections, you are demonstrating the kind of sophisticated synoptic thinking that earns the highest marks. Now let's talk about the exam itself, because knowing the material is only half the battle. You need to know how to perform under pressure. The Cambridge IGCSE literature paper will ask you to write about one or two stories from the anthology. You may be given a short extract to analyze closely, or you may be asked a broader question about the whole story. Either way, the examiner is looking for the same three things: AO1, your ability to respond to the text with a clear, supported argument; AO2, your analysis of the writer's methods, language, structure, and form; and AO3, your understanding of relevant context, whether that's cultural, historical, or literary. Let me be very direct about the most common mistake I see: plot summary. I cannot stress this enough. The examiner already knows what happens in the story. They do not need you to retell it. Every sentence you write should be doing analytical work. Instead of saying the character walks into the room and feels scared, say the writer's use of short staccato sentences as the character enters. The room creates a sense of mounting dread, mirroring the character's psychological fragmentation. Do you hear the difference? One describes, the other analyses. The second most common mistake is what we call feature spotting. This is when a candidate writes something like, the writer uses a metaphor here, full stop. That earns very few marks. You must always explain what the metaphor does, what it suggests, what effect it has on the reader, why the writer chose it at that particular moment. A useful phrase to remember is, the writer's use of this technique suggests a certain meaning, which creates a particular effect in the reader. That three-part structure, technique, meaning, effect, is your ticket to the higher mark bands. The third mistake is bolting on context. Context should be woven into your analysis, not added as a separate paragraph at the end. Instead of adding context as an afterthought, integrate it into your analysis of language and character. Show the examiner that you understand how the social and cultural world of the story shapes the character's choices and the writer's craft. Now, a word about quotations. Short, precise, embedded quotations are far more impressive than long block quotes. If you quote three lines of text and then say, this shows the character is sad, you have wasted your time. Pick out two or three words, a specific adjective, a verb, a piece of imagery, and analyze those words closely. Word-level analysis is what separates good responses from outstanding ones. Right, let's test yourself with a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then press play to hear mine. Question 1. What is the difference between a first-person narrator and a third-person omniscient narrator? Pause now. Answer. A first-person narrator uses I and gives a subjective, limited perspective. We only know what they know. A third-person omniscient narrator knows everything about all characters and can move freely between perspectives, creating dramatic irony. Question 2. What does in medias residential mean, and why might a writer use it? Pause now. Answer. In medias, residential means in the middle of things, beginning a story in the middle of the action rather than at the beginning. Writers use it to create immediate tension, hook the reader, and avoid slow exposition. Question 3. Name 3 recurring themes in the anthology. Pause now. Answer. Identity and self, isolation and belonging, power and oppression, memory and the past, cultural conflict, social injustice. Any 3 of these would be correct. Question 4. What is feature spotting and why should you avoid it? Pause now. Answer. Feature spotting is identifying a literary technique without explaining its effect. It earns very few marks because it shows recognition, but not analysis. Always follow technique identification with an explanation of meaning and effect. So let's bring it all together. Stories of Ourselves. Volume 2 is an anthology that rewards careful, close reading. The writers represented here have made deliberate, sophisticated choices about narrative voice, structure, language, and theme. And your job is to unpack those choices and explain their effect. Remember the 3 golden rules. Never summarize when you can analyze. Always explain the effect of every technique you identify and weave your contextual understanding into your argument rather than adding it as an afterthought. The stories in this anthology are not just exam texts, they are windows into human experience. The more genuinely curious you are about what each writer is doing and why, the more naturally your analysis will flow. Read widely, annotate carefully, and practice writing under timed conditions. You've got this. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode of Lit Unlocked. Keep reading, keep questioning, and keep pushing for those top marks.